Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Today, I want to continue in that same vein of getting our habits and our hopes in the right direction. In Romans 12 and verse 2 in the New Living Translation says this, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing." Everybody say good and pleasing. Says it's good, pleasing, and then if you didn't get it, perfect. So God has a good, pleasing, and a perfect will. And then it says, in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses in the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up." Everybody say easy. So it's easy to get weighed down. It's easy to get tripped up. And then it says, "But let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us so that we don't miss it." It says, "Keep your eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy that is awaiting him, he endured it and he focused on the right things." Come on. Everybody say, looking unto Jesus. This passage of Scripture, coupled with the Scripture in Romans, helps us to do something very important, and that is focus. Everybody say focus. The third habit that we want to look at today is the habit of focusing on what matters. In life, you can focus on many different things, and your focus will determine your direction. Just try closing your eyes and walking around this room. You will bump into a lot of things and people and probably won't make it out of this room unless you have practiced walking with your eyes closed. But focus is the thing that helps you move in the right direction and get to the right destination. So you can have the intention on the inside, but you can miss it with your focus on the outside. That means God can have great things in store for your life and you can still live a life less than God's best because your focus is not in the right way. Your focus is not on the right thing. I mean, you have an opportunity when you wake up in the morning to either focus on what didn't happen or to thank God for what has happened. Isn't that right? I mean, all of you probably can raise your hand and say, "Man, I have gone through some stuff at one time or another in my life." Isn't that right? And you could wake up in the morning, you could say, "Well, I don't think today is going to be a very good day." Well, why is that? "Well, yesterday was pretty bad. Last year, I went through some stuff." Well, you can focus on that, and you'll probably get what you focus on. Or you can wake up and say, "Man, I am so glad yesterday is over. I am so glad last year, it is 2018. I am so thankful today's going to be a good day. Man, God is working. His word is working. He gave me mercy that was new today. His grace is available for me. He's given me his strength. He's given me favor. Everywhere I go, I prosper. Man, today is going to be a good day. This is going to be a great year. Man, my life is going to be 12 months from now. My life is going to be completely different. Wow, I am so excited." It all has to do with your focus. It has to do with your focus. You can focus on what happened to you, the problems that you have, the place that you're from, the reasons of why you have excuses, or you can focus on, "You know what, God, I thank you that you redeem me. I thank you that you restore me. I thank you still have a plan for my life. I thank you that you're still working. Your word is working. I thank you. I have the mind of Christ. I am led by the Spirit of God." It all has to do with focus. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, focus on what matters. Let me ask you a question. What if you could get a clearer focus and see your life and this year the way God sees it? What if you could get a clearer focus to see your life and this year, not the way you see it, but the way God sees it? Let me ask you a question. Do you think things would be different? If you could just get a glimpse of the way heaven sees things for your life, if you could just get a picture for what God has planned for your life, and then you could walk out looking at that picture and seeing those realities come to pass, do you think things would be different? Yes or no? Yes, of course they would. Because the Bible says God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. And so what that means is I need to get my thoughts up to where he is. I need to get my ways in line with his ways. I need to get my focus in line with his focus for my life. And when I do that, that's when things begin to change. So my challenge for you this year, as you have a lot of different habits and focus on a lot of different things, and you have a family to raise, and you have a business to run, and a job that you need to do, and you have activities and all of the stuff, make sure you're focused on what matters. Make sure you're not focused on what you've lost, but focus on what God has still given you. Make sure you're not focused on, well, 20 years ago, God really was good to me. Come on, folks, it's 2018. God wants to be good to you this year, too. Well, when I was a young person, I had almost lived carefree. I had no problems. Well, it's okay. You're still a younger person, just not as young as you used to be. You can still have joy and strength and vision and excitement in your step and an outlook for your future. Why? Because you're still breathing and God has a plan for your life. So you may as well enjoy it while you're here. Maximize it while you have it and then celebrate when you get to heaven. Come on, that's good. Just shake somebody next to you and tell them, okay. What if you could get a clearer focus? If you could, I wonder what that would look like. It would probably look like when we were all younger and we used to go into the optometrist or used to have those eye exams in school where you would look at the board and then you would have to read E, Z, N, S. You know what I'm talking about? Man, I was so competitive and stupid when I was younger. I used to go memorize those boards so I could pass that test in the library. I didn't know that I was actually hurting myself until I was in middle school and I actually went to the real optometrist and I found out I needed glasses. And he said, well, how have you gone this long looking at things that are blurry? And I said, well, I didn't know things were blurry. They looked the same to me, because when you don't have clear focus or clear vision, you don't know what clear vision looks like. I'd been cheating myself all that time because I was winning the competition with my friend of who could read the lowest line. And so I would sneak up to the board. I said, okay, N-S-Z-T-Y-Z. I would step back, wait in line for a while. And the teacher said, okay, next, read the lowest line that you can see. N-S-Z-T-Y-O-Z. Okay, next, you have good vision. I didn't have good vision. I was cheating on the test. Well, think about this. So many times in life, people are cheating themselves. They're cheating themselves saying, oh, I have clear vision. I have clear focus. But the problem is you're focused on the wrong things. The problem is that you don't see things clearly and you need to get the right set of glasses. And so finally, when I was in middle school and the optometrist said, hey, you need to wear glasses, I put those glasses on and it was like everything changed. I looked at people, I could see their eyes. I looked at the basketball court, I could see the lines. I looked at the rim, I could see the rim. I mean, everything that was like a figure became very specific. Why? Because I could focus. Well, what if this year in your life, God helps you to focus to where you actually could see things with the right set of lenses? You see, the lens that we're supposed to see things through is the lens of faith. Good. The lens that we're supposed to see things through is the lens of what God has said and not just what we think. Not just our past experience. The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 12 that let us lay aside every weight. That means there's going to be things that easily trip you up. There's going to be some weights that just kind of attach themselves to you. You didn't ask for them. You didn't want them, but they just kind of were there. And the Bible says you got to lay those things aside. There's going to be some sin that tries to trip you up. And the key then is to look, focus on the right thing, looking unto Jesus. You know what happens when you look to Jesus? The weight falls off. You know what happens when you look to Jesus? You don't trip up on that thing anymore. Most of the time we think, I got to get the weight off. I got to get the sin off. No, you have to focus on Jesus. He's the one that takes it off. He's the one that lifts the burden. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So many times we think, oh, well, if Jesus comes into my life, I shouldn't have any burden. No, you'll have a burden. It's just a light burden. You'll have a burden for the lost, a burden for the right things, a burden for the righteous. You'll have a burden for God's house. You'll have a burden to do things that you could never do before. You'll have a burden to make a difference for your life. You'll have a burden to fulfill the plan and purpose that God has on your life. You're not burdenless. You're burden light. You have the right focus and you look at things differently. Why? Because God's working in your life. Come on, church, tell somebody next to you, focus on the right things. So when we understand this, it's amazing how we can live and how things look different in our lives when we have the right lens, the lens of faith, the lens of possibility, the lens of God working in our lives. There's a story in Joshua chapter 6 where the children of Israel have come out of captivity. They've now come out of the wilderness. I mean, life should be good for those guys. Out of captivity, out of the wilderness, crossed over the Jordan on dry ground. The Spirit of God is with them. The Ark of the Covenant is with them. Everywhere they take it, man, they're seeing supernatural things. But then one day they encounter a city called Jericho. And then when they encountered the city of Jericho, the same leader, Joshua, who saw miracles and experienced fantastic things when he was under the leader Moses, and then God speaks to him as if that's not enough and says, hey, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I mean, that is fantastic because Moses saw the plagues. He saw the, you know, them in captivity. He saw them come out of captivity. He saw the Red Sea part. He saw manna. He saw fire. He was led by a cloud in the day. I mean, he saw miracles everywhere. Water come out of a rock. I mean, God was really with Moses. And yet God gives the same promise to Joshua. All that and more, I'm going to be with you as I was with him. And all it took was an impossible city in the natural to get his focus off. He looks at this thing and he forgets all that God said he would do. He forgets who was on his side. He forgets all the miracles. He forgets the dry ground. He forgets all of that. And all he's looking at is this city and saying, oh, brother, it's an impossible. I've heard about this city. I heard about it, in fact, for generations. Everybody knows about this city. This is Jericho. It's as if he forgets everything and gets his focus off. How do we know that? Because God had to show up with an angel and he had to speak to him and help him to get his focus in the right direction. Listen to what it says in Joshua 6 and verse 2. It says, the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and its strong warriors. The scripture says in the New King James translation says, see, I have given you this city. Isn't it interesting that Joshua was looking, but he couldn't see? How many of you are looking at your situation, but you're not seeing what God is doing? You're looking at your marriage and you're not seeing the magnificent thing that God has given you. You're looking at your business and you're not seeing the supernatural provision that God wants to give you. You're looking at your children and you're not seeing the amazing potential that God has placed on the inside of them. You're looking at your circumstance and you're not seeing the awesome opportunity that God has on the other side of that. You can look at things and still not see. Joshua was looking at an impossible city, but he didn't see the conquered city. And the Bible says that right after the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, see, I have given you the city, then something amazing took place. He gave him a strategy. What does focus produce in our life? Focus produces a strategy. When you focus on the right thing, what happens is you get a strategy, and the strategy doesn't come from you, it comes from God. When you focus on what matters, when you've prioritized God first and everything else, and then you begin to focus on what God has done and what God is doing, and you have the right focus, it's amazing how you begin to get the right strategy. I just talked with a couple of people after our first service who they said, man, I've been trying to put God first and doing this and the other. And as we were talking, I said, well, the thing you need is a strategy. They said, yeah, I need a strategy. But here's the way you get a strategy. You focus on the right things. That means when you wake up in the morning, you don't focus on the deficit. You focus on, God, thank you for your provision. But you don't focus on, man, I'm kind of aching. Oh, I feel the pain. Don't focus on the pain. Focus on the opportunity that you have to go out there and to work and to do something great today. Don't focus. Oh, I've been through a lot. Pastor, you don't know. I've been through a lot. I know you probably have. I'll feel sorry for you. I'm not a great counselor, but I'll feel sorry for you. God, he's the best. This Holy Spirit, he's a great counselor. So if your pastor doesn't feel all your pain, it's okay. God does. He'll cry with you, but then he'll help you. He'll wash you. He'll clean you up. And then he'll say, all right, now go. Well, you don't understand. I went through this. Okay. I don't understand, but God does. And he still says you can get up. He still says you can make it. He still says you can overcome. He still says that he has a plan for you. He still says that he's going to guide and direct your life. He still says everywhere you go, you prosper. So what's the excuse? Well, the excuse is I don't want to focus on what God has said. So let me encourage you with three things that will help us, three reminders that will help us with our focus. Number one, focus on what God has said. If you want to know how do I keep my focus in the right direction, here's what you do. You focus on what God has said. Don't focus on what your grandma said or what your neighbor said or what the nightly news said, because God, you will get off quick. But focus on what God has said. What has God said about you? Well, God says you have the mind of Christ. That's a good one. God says that you're blessed everywhere you go. That's fantastic. God says that he's for you, not against you. Man, that's great. God says that you're more than a conqueror. I mean, there are four or five things right there that should wake you up, stir you up, and kick you out to go do exactly what God has called you to do. But most of the time, we just forget what God has said. But when we focus in and we say, you know what, I'm going to focus on what God has said. And when I do that, it's amazing how things begin to change in my life. You know, so many people, they are determined to focus on what they don't have instead of what God has done. Have you ever felt like that? Well, I've been this and I've been that. And look at my life. Well, look at your life. Man, God gave you breath. God has blessed you. God has redeemed you. I mean, I should have been dead quite a few times. How about you? I mean, I should have been taken out of this race a long time ago. I mean, the devil tried every which way. In fact, I should have not even been here at church today. My flight was delayed earlier in the week, canceled, took an overnight flight, got into Miami at 4:30 a.m. And every person I encountered was like the snail. You know, I'm talking about the check-in person. They're a snail. Computer went down at the rental car place. Person couldn't get the gate to open up at the airplane when we got to Orlando. And I'm just sitting there thinking, Lord, I'm preaching on focus. I'm going to keep my focus. I'm going to keep my focus. But sometimes the devil just can't keep you down. Even slow people can't keep you down. All right. You know what I'm talking about? Why? You're going to stay focused. You're going to do what God has called you to do. You're going to make it to where you were called to get to. And you're going to accomplish what God has you on the earth for.
Yeah.
But you need to keep your focus. Focus on what matters. And one of the most important things we can focus on is what God has said. That means it's going to require participation. I know that's not very good. Sometimes we're like, oh, participation, Pastor, I just want you to just download it right here. Put it in me as an IV on Sunday morning for an hour, and I will have enough the rest of the week. The problem is it will wear off. All right? It will wear off. I mean, you can get intravenous word injected in you for an hour and a half, and then on Monday morning, you will feel terrible, and you will forget everything that we said. I mean, 15 minutes after the message, most of the time, you forgot it anyways. This is just to get you to the place where you actually feed yourself, grow yourself, read the word, pray to God. That would be a miracle, and then you'll see God actually working in your life. Wednesday, Pastor Chris may not be there at 9 a.m. when you're at work and you're facing a problem, but God will be there with you.
Amen.
And you can store up the word on the inside of your heart so that you, when you encounter Mr. Evil on the job, you can just have the peace of God and nobody else will understand. How are you so peaceful? Well, God is working in my life. And God is for me. Who could be against me? They can't take me out. They can't take me down. No, God's working in my life. So you look at what God has said. So if you're going to focus on what God has said, you got to know what he said.
Yeah.
All right, I got my cheering section, the worship team, and a few pastors over here saying, yeah, that's right. Come on. If we're going to focus on what he has said, we got to know what he said.
Amen.
That's why we have this thing. It's an open book test. It's called the Bible. We have the opportunity to read it whenever we want.
Yeah.
In fact, in today's technology, you can listen to it. You can look at it. I mean, there are so many ways. And so I want to encourage you to understand and focus on what God has said. Number two, focus on what God has done. If what he said isn't good enough for you, then reinforce it with what he's already done. And what I love about this book that we call the Bible, it not only tells us what God says, but it tells us what he's done. We can look back. Psalm says you can look at his marvelous works. Isn't it wonderful that we can look back and see the marvelous works of God? We can see the transforming power of God, the miracle working power of God. I mean, even this week, as Sarah and I were in Argentina, we saw God do miraculous things with these young people. And I look at that, I say, man, God, thank you for what you have done. You have done amazing things. I mean, think about your stories and your situations, your family dynamics. Look at all that God has done. It's easy to focus on what he hasn't done, or where you're not at, and what hasn't happened, but everybody can focus on that. It doesn't take a person of faith to focus on the reality. A person of faith focuses on what they don't see, focuses on what God has done. And say, God, if you've done it in the past, then that means you're probably consistent in your character because you're not like a person who lies. You're not schizophrenic. You're not nice one day and mean the next day. Then that means that if you were faithful then that means you're going to be faithful now. His character is consistent throughout history. He doesn't change. In fact, Malachi tells us that. He even gives a promise. He says, I, the Lord, do not change. Come on, that's a pretty good promise. God's not going to change. He's not going to be the healer in Exodus and then, you know, throw sickness on people in the New Testament. He just doesn't do it. He doesn't kill people one time and then raise them up the next time. No, God is consistent. He loves people. He sent Jesus to die for people so that they could be in fellowship with him. He blesses all people. He has a purpose for all people. God's character is consistent. So you can look at what he has done and have faith for what he will do. So number one, we focus on what God has said. Number two, we focus on what God has done. And number three, we focus on what God is doing. Did you know that God is doing something in your life all the time? God is doing so much. And I think it's important that we focus on the right thing. I mean, all of us may look at something and say, not 100%, maybe 60, 70, 80. Well, you can look at that and say, I still need 30 more percent for my breakthrough. I still need another 15% for my miracle so I can be really confident in what God is doing. Or you can look at that and say, man, look at where I've come. I mean, I went from 0 to 50 in about a second. Look at all that God has done. I mean, I used to be messed up. How about you? But look at what God has done. He blessed you. He saved you. He filled you. He's transforming you. The Bible says that you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means that you may not be where you want to be, but you're not where you used to be. You're in the transforming process. You should just wear this sign on your chest that says under construction. Because everywhere you go, it's like God is working on you. He's transforming things in you. But sometimes you just need to get the right focus and say, man, God, thank you for my family. Thank you for saving. Thank you for providing. I know my business isn't producing what it may produce, but thank you for what it is producing. I know you're working. Thank you for the job I do have. It's not the ultimate, maybe, or haven't made it to my final destination, but thank you for where I am at. God, you're doing so much already. What I found is this, that when you begin to recognize something and then you're thankful for it, it begins to increase in your life. You recognize that, God, your mercy, thank you. You know, I wake up in the morning and I say, thank you, Lord, your mercy is new every morning. Is that because I was perfect the day before? No. I'm thankful his mercy is new every morning. That means today, God, thank you, your mercy is new. I'm recognizing, God, you're working. Thank you. And then as I recognize it and I'm thankful, what happens is it starts to increase in my life. I start to notice it. God, thank you, right there. You did that. You opened up that door. You provided that thing. You protected. You healed me in that moment. Thank you. I recognize it. And you know what? It starts to increase in your life. You wake up, and when you've been discouraged, you start waking up encouraged. When you think people are the problem, you start to look at people as the solution. Say, God, which one of these people is going to really bless me today? Which one of these people is going to have a word for? Which one of these people am I supposed to minister to? You start to recognize it and it increases in your life. Why? Because you're focusing on what God has said, what God has done, and what God is doing. And I want to challenge you in this year, if we're going to keep our habits and our hopes in the right direction, then we're going to have to live a life that focuses in on the right things. Let me give you these four things as we get ready to pray. Number one, to master the habit of focus, number one, decide in your life what's important. If you're going to focus on the right things, then you have to decide what's really important. The Apostle Paul was writing a letter to the church of Philippi, and he was helping them, and he was saying, look, there are some things in life that I consider worthless compared to knowing Christ. You're going to have to decide what's important in your life. Number two, you're going to have to give calendar time to the most important things. If you're going to focus, then focus requires time. I'm sorry to give you that little disclaimer, but it's the only way that you can really focus. As I get ready and prepare for a sermon, the only way that I can focus on the message is spend some time. Spend some time during the week. Spend some time late at night, early in the morning. Spend some time. Why? Because in order for something to be focused on, there has to be time given towards it. So let me encourage you with this. There may be some things in your life that you have neglected to give calendar time to, and you're wondering why your focus has shifted. Well, I want a fantastic marriage. Well, have you given some calendar time to it? Have you charted out? You know, one thing that Sarah and I, and our marriage is not perfect, but one of the things that we looked at is, okay, We can't know everything or chart everything out, but there are a few things that we can do. And so this year, like a couple weeks ago, we sat down. This year, okay, when are we going to have some time together? It's easy to spend time with everybody else. When is our time? Okay, we start charting it out. Let's write it on the calendar, okay? This date, we're going to go out. We're going to go on this, you know, overnight. We're going to spend this time, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be expensive or cheap. Just requires focus, calendar, time. Okay, what else? Okay, family, all right? Want a fantastic family, but I don't spend any time with them. That's kind of a problem. All right? So calendar in the things that are important. Man, I want to have a great relationship with God. Okay, when do you spend time with him? Okay, when do you put him first? Man, God, this year you're going to bless me in my finances. Have you even started giving? All right? There's just some things, some practical things that, oh, I need to calendar that in. I need to make sure that is consistent. I need to make sure that that happens on a regular basis. Why is that important? Because your time, it shows what you're focused on. You say, why do I keep tripping up on this thing? Well, you've probably been spending time focused on the wrong thing, and then you wonder why I keep tripping up on this thing. And God wants to help you. He's not leading you because he is trying to coerce you. He's trying to bless your life. So we focus in on the right things, but we need to give some calendar time. Number three, eliminate non-essentials. In other words, there may be some things that are non-essential, like a weight. It may not be a sin, but it might be a weight. There may be some relationships that you've been holding on to, not in marriage, disclaimer, not asking you to get rid of your marriage, but there may be some relationships that are pulling you down. There may be some friends that used to be good in one season that are pulling you down in this season. And you say, wow, it's out of pity, or, oh, you know what, I like just hanging out with them. Well, that's great if you want to just have them pull you down all the time. That's great if you want to be the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with. And if that doesn't equal much, then you may need to adjust that. So there may be some non-essential things. In order to grab something good, better or best, you have to sometimes let go of things that just are good or average. You might have to say, you know what, I love that season in my life, but it's past, and now I need to focus in this new season. There's some non-essential things. So you need to write out, okay, what are those essentials? We focus on those, and it's amazing how God helps us in each season. So I'm trying to help you with some practical things here. Number four, continue to take inventory. Taking inventory is not a once and done thing. It's a regular basis. And if we're going to stay focused on the right things, what we have to do on a regular basis is take inventory of what's on our shelves. I'll give you an example. One time I went to Walmart late at night. I'm not suggesting that. A lot of crazy people are there. But maybe it was you. I don't know. Maybe you thought I was the crazy person. Middle of the night, I went to Walmart years ago. I learned my lesson. I don't go anymore. But I remember going down the shelf and or down the aisle. And on the shelves, they were practically empty. And there was all these crates in the middle of the aisle, and the guys were storing stuff and putting it on the shelves and doing everything. I said, wow, what are you guys doing? They said, oh, we're restocking the shelves. And then I asked them a question. I said, well, the store is pretty big. How do you know when to restock the shelves? And this was the reply. Oh, that's easy. We take inventory. We find out through the computer system how many boxes of Cheerios are gone, and we know, okay, go to aisle number 6 and fill it up with Cheerios. Because of the inventory, it helps us know what we need to stock on the shelf. In the same way, in life, we need to continually take inventory. Say, God, what has been attaching itself to me that doesn't need to be there? What have I been focused on that's producing great fruit in my life? Maybe I need to focus more on it. We take inventory. Man, God, I'm putting you first. And then 6 months later, you realize everything else is first. Man, God, you know the desires of my heart. You know I have a good heart, even though you're not first in my life. Isn't that good enough? No, it's not good enough, because God wants to be first and only always. And with that, then he produces everything else in our lives. So we take inventory, and then what happens is we allow God then to restock our shelf. He restocks it with joy and strength and peace and contentment and clarity, because that's what he produces. He produces the fruit, like the Bible says, of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and meekness and temperance and faith. The 9 fruits of the Spirit. What is that? He's restocking our shelves. Well, how do we get that? We focus in on the right. right things. So when you take inventory, it helps you then to focus. And when you focus then on the right things, then that fruit is produced in your life. And I believe through the course of our time today and through this series, what God is doing is He's sharpening areas of your life. He's sharpening things in your life because of what's to come, because of what He's trying to bring to you and what He wants to work through you and how He wants to use you. It's not about what you have to do. It's about what we get to do because of what God has planned for us. I mean, if God has more in store for my life, why would I want to live my life less than God's best? That's insane. I don't want that. If the Creator of the universe has more for me, give it all. Come on, let's go. How about you? Do you want to settle for just what you can do, or do you want to attain what God wants to give you? That's God's desire for your life. But your habits and your hopes need to be in line with each other. And focus really helps you to do that. Why don't you stand to your feet as we have a time of prayer? Just bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, we love You. We honor You. We lift You up today. I thank You, Father, that I've preached what You asked me to preach and shared the Word today. And I pray that You would help people to clarify focus in their life, focus in each season. As a student, it may be different. As an adult, it may be different. As a business owner, it may be different. As a grandmother, but in every season, I pray, God, that You would help us to focus on what matters. Lord, help us to focus on the lost. Help us to focus on the broken. Help us to focus on the Word. Help us to focus on Your faithfulness. Help us to focus on Your miracle-working power. Help us to focus on the opportunities that are before us, not the lost opportunities that are behind us. Help us to focus on what You have promised and not what we're experiencing. Help us to focus on what is possible in the future and not what is holding us back right now. And God, I pray that for every single one of my friends that are here this morning. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed all over this place, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I really need some help. In the focus of my life, I've been getting off track. I've been focused on the wrong things. I've been focused on the negative aspects. I've been focused on the sin and the trouble and the mistakes. I've been focused on the pain and the loss. I've been focused on things that are not producing the right fruit. And today I want God to help clarify my focus, to help refocus things in my life so I can see. Just like Joshua looking at Jericho and he got a strategy, I need a strategy. And I want that delivered from the Holy Spirit today all over this place. If that's you, just lift your hand wherever you are. I'm going to pray for you right there in your seat. Just lift it up high. All right. All right. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Why don't we all do this? Why don't we just lift our hands as a sign of surrender? Let's just pray this prayer together. And those of you that may be far from God or you don't have a relationship with Him, the Bible says simply that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God will transform you, it's the miracle of salvation. And right where you are, you can pray this prayer and you can allow God to transform you and forgive you. We're going to pray this together as a family, and we're going to pray that God would clarify your focus, but the most important focus is to put Him first. So why don't we pray this prayer together, family? Say, Lord Jesus, I focus on You. Forgive me of the past, the mistakes that I've made, and I put You first for my future. Jesus, You are my Lord. Holy Spirit, fill me now with the strength that I need to serve You every day. Help me to focus on You, on what You have said, on what You have done, and on what You are doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let me ask you a question. 12 months from now, imagine how different your life could be if you were to see things the way God sees them. Imagine what that's going to be like. Imagine the things that God wants to open up, the opportunities you've not yet even thought of, the relationships that have yet to even be started, The breakthroughs that you can't even imagine are possible. But when you start to focus in, God starts to help you to see things. It's the awareness of what's already there, but yet you're missing it many times. You ever bought a new car? You thought I was the only one. And then all of a sudden you see Hondas everywhere. Everybody has a Honda Accord. Well, no, you just became aware of it. Did you know that there are stuff that's passing you by on a regular basis? You're just not aware. But when you focus in the right way, it's amazing. God says, oh, right there. No, that's it. Okay, that person, that situation, that blessing, that opportunity, I'm going to open it up. How many of you this year, you're expecting God to open up some things you've never even seen before? Come on, are you believing for that? I'm believing for that with you guys.